everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, us. It's Ariel and
Raylene. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there, stranger.
Just as you said your name, a cold draft of air came out of my vent.
That sounds like something out of Animal Crossing. I don't know. Just like cold draft.
I'm so happy to be here today. I have lots to tell you about, Raylene.
Oh, good.
And lots to tell, therefore, the listeners about. How has your week been, though? Or your weekend? You celebrated your birthday.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was a big week.
Yeah.
It was a lot, but at the same time, I also didn't do that many things. Like, I actually took the entire week off of work, like my regular job and stuff. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to relax, going to big chill, as I called it all week long. I was like, I'm big chilling. That's what I'm doing. So,
the big chill.
I was just really chillaxing, which was really nice, honestly. Like, I don't like being busy. And when I'm too busy, it really, like, scares me. and I just need to, like, unwind in a big way. And so I got to do that, which was really nice. I did a bunch of reading. I watched a ton of my favorite movies, which was something I wanted to do during my week off. I was like, you know what? It's my birthday week. I'm going to just, like, do my favorite things. So I did that, and it was really fun. But I also had my birthday party with my friends. So I've talked about, me and Julia planned a big party for our friend's birthday in October, and then they planned a party for me. And that was just a couple of days ago, and it was so much fun. They did like an astrology theme, because I'm a Scorpio. It was kind of like a Scorpio themed party, but it was more broadly just like astrology. So there was like stars everywhere, and like the vibe was really nice. There was lots of blue light bulbs.
Everyone needs to go to your Instagram, because you posted some photos and the vibes are so cool at this party.
I walked in and I was like, whoa, it's so like groovy in here, and like just like low light, blue stars. The drinks were made with like charcoal, so everything was very like cool looking. It was a lot of fun.
Go on your teeth?
I don't know. I didn't look at
you
myself.
You just felt your teeth in that moment. You're like, oh, I don't think so.
It's like, no, I don't think so. I think it was safe. I think it was okay. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I had a good time. But yeah, other than that, it was a very relaxing week. I didn't really do much. I kind of just laid around, which was really nice.
I love that.
One other thing I wanted to say that I did, though, throughout the past week and a half-ish, I went to 2 trivia nights at a pub.
Yes.
I think I told you about this, but so the first one I went to was Shrek trivia. And then the following week was Twilight trivia. And it was just too perfect, because me and one of my friends, like, those are the two pieces of media that we both love together, and like the only ones really that we really like enjoy together. And so it was a weird coincidence, but it was lots of fun. We didn't place at Shrek trivia, but we came in third at Twilight trivia, so it was fun. It was kind of hard, though. They made it really hard. Like, one of the questions was, how many vampires come to help the Cullens, or like how many vampires are there total in that last battle?
And I was 61. Like, 61.
What?
61.
Oh, I thought you guessed it right for a second. No, it's 31. For anybody else out there who's going to trivia, we were sitting there like trying to tally them all up, and we were like, I don't know, 20. We were so wrong.
I know that this is not the point of the story, but I always have just, every time I think about that final battle, I just feel so cringe. It's so anticlimactic, like literally
really
2.5 books, like since basically New Moon, and then all the way to the end of Breaking Dawn, is building up to this battle.
It's true.
Okay, this is going to be the Return of the King-esque battle. And then it's over in 5 minutes. There's actually only 30 vampires there. Everyone just shakes hands and goes home. You're like, what? What?
It's diplomacy? Pretty crazy.
Oh man. That's frustrating. That's frustrating stuff. Anyways, go on. What about Shrek? Do you have any examples of the Shrek questions? Because that's something that really intrigues me.
Yeah, it was actually kind of difficult, because there was 5 rounds. And at the beginning of the night, they were like, there's 1 round for each movie. And so all of us started freaking out. We're like, is there a 5th Shrek movie we don't know about? Are they including like Christmas specials? Like, we started to freak out a little. So we were like, but luckily I rewatched Shrek 1 and 2 exactly the night before. So I was really powerful for Shrek 1 and 2.
Genius.
So there was like little questions like, at the beginning of Shrek 2, who is narrating the story of Fiona's life? And I'm like,
Prince Charming.
It is, but I would have had no idea. I would have not remembered that. And so it was just like, there was lots of little things like that that I was able to remember. But when I got to Shrek the Third, I had no idea. It's been years since I've seen that movie. I've only seen Shrek Forever After one time, and it was like 10 years ago. So we just like made a lot of educated guesses and actually did pretty well. Like we were like, okay, fairy tales, you know? Like, we can figure this out. Like, that guy's name is probably Lancelot, that guy they're talking about. I bet that's Lancelot. Oh, that one, you know, it's Rumpelstiltskin, so we could probably kind of figure out what he did. So,
yeah.
I can't think of many of the questions. But anyways, round five was quotes, which was really fun. So, it was just quotes, and we had to guess who said them. And some of them were surprising. There's one part where Shrek says, bro, apparently, or something like that. And we were like, what? There's no way. There's no way that was Shrek.
So
but apparently it was.
It's like everything about Shrek is a reason for it to fail, but somehow it's one of the best animated movies of all time.
It really is.
God, I love Shrek.
And it came out over 20 years ago, so let that sink in for a bit. We saw that when it came out. Like,
yeah, we did.
We were kids and we were ready for it.
we ready started watching Christmas movies around here because my mom's birthday was 2 days ago and on her birthday she likes to set up the Christmas tree. This has been the tradition since I was a child. So we set up the Christmas tree and then we watched a Christmas movie, and it kind of like starts the holidays. Like it's like we're in holidays now.
Nice.
And we watched The Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
I was watching it, and my mom was like, when is this movie from?
1994, I betcha.
1994.
You know how I know that?
Why?
My mom was watching that movie when she was in labor with me. Or however you say that. Isn't that funny?
That's so interesting, because it said it came out on November 11th.
Yeah.
of 1994, and so you were born a couple days later.
Yeah, my mom literally went to go see it in the theater, and to this day, it's like her favorite Christmas movie. She loves that movie so much.
That's so beautiful. Oh, wait, I love that fun fact. That's such a fun fact.
Now you know.
But yeah, I was like, Jesus, like this movie is 32 years old. Like, what happened? We're so old. I was, okay, this is kind of an aside, but I was thinking of taking a short course, like a month-long course in Italy. Let's put that all aside. I know.
We'll come back
to it.
Santa Claus?
Bookbinding.
Oh.
Bookbinding. Okay. But anyways, it can't work. It doesn't work. It's happening while I'm doing the Anne of Green Gables pilgrimage. Sadly, what a conflict of interest.
Right.
But yeah, anyways, I can't do it. But I was corresponding with them to try and understand, like, how much does it cost, blah, blah, blah. And I asked, is this for, like, students? Because I couldn't tell from the pictures and stuff if this is, like, for 19, 20-year-olds or teenagers or, like, any age or what. I was like, I'm 29 and I don't want to be a lot older than everyone there.
Yeah.
I just felt so old looking at these pictures of, like, people in their undergrads and, like, studying abroad, you know what I mean? I was like, that's not me anymore. It was once and I loved it, but it's not anymore. And the guy replied to me, and it's just this Italian man, and he I forget his name, but it was something like Giorgio, you know, it was like a really Italian name. It was awesome. And he was like, I think it's so funny that you have called yourself older. 29 is so young. And I was like, man, I needed to hear that. Thank you, Giorgio.
Oh, you're the best, Giorgio. You're the best.
Oh, Giorgio, I needed that. But yeah, speaking of which, how do you feel? You've now been 29 for a week. How's 29?
Man, the wrinkles around my eyes, they're popping. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
They're scrunching. They're scrunching right up. Yep.
I mean, they are, but that's been happening for years now. I don't really feel different. I think 30 will be more of a mental attack on me.
Yep.
But I 29 feels no different from 28. Like,
okay,
I don't know. There's something about, like, I feel like the jump from like 25 to 26 feels really big.
Yeah.
Like that's when you're, you know, in the latter half of your 20s. But now I'm like, I was already in my late 20s. I'm still here. Yep. It's fun. It's chill.
Yeah.
So I don't really bother myself about it too much.
Okay.
I also I like that I have a late birthday in the year. Like I'm younger than all my friends pretty much. So that feels pretty cool.
Yeah, I even feel that way because my birthday is at the very end of September. And so when I started the next grade, I still had a whole month of being a year younger than everyone else, basically. Somehow that was psychologically really mattered to me.
Yeah.
I feel like when we turn 30, we're going to listen to 30 by Bo Burnham a lot.
Oh, 100%. That I haven't stopped thinking about that song since, you know, for the past month. Yeah. I was like, I really wish that I could listen to that song on my 30th or on my 29th birthday, but it wouldn't work. It just wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work. But it's true. Like when there's one lyric, I think it's in that song, but he's like, I used to be the youngest one.
Yeah.
Like everyone's surprised that he's born in the 1990.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, he's always the youngest one. And I'm like, I'm almost out of that.
I know.
I'm
I could relate to that. Like, I remember when we were like 20 or 21, people were like, "Oh my gosh, that's so amazing! You've already moved out, you've done all these things." And I'm like,
right.
"Yeah, cool." And now I'm like, "Wow, I haven't done more than that."
Oh man, it's so true.
I haven't advanced much since then.
I had a very similar conversation with a friend literally yesterday, where I was like, you know, I felt like I've peaked a little early. Like I did so many cool things in my early 20s. I'm like, I guess it's time for reinvention.
I guess.
Phase two.
Go to Italy and hang out with Giorgio.
Yeah. Go to Italy and hang out with Giorgio. Oh, shoot. That's awesome. All right, let's move on to happier things, I suppose. It's pretty happy, though.
Yeah.
I love that we're the same age.
Yeah.
Like,
that's nice.
You're only a month and a half younger than me, so I'm like, we're basically going through life together.
We really are.
It's like, it's perfect because it's so lucky because Raylene and I don't know each other from school. We don't know each other through family friends.
Yeah, that's
true. We have nothing to do with one another. Like,
we're strangers passing
in the
night.
You just started making YouTube videos a month after I started making YouTube videos. So it's so lucky that we found each other when we were both 16.
That's true.
And I was saying, a friend was saying to me, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna see my friend tomorrow. She's like my oldest friend, the friend I've known since I was little, or like since I was a teen.
Yeah.
I was like, how old were you when you met her? She's like, we met in high school when we were 16. I was like, Raylene is my oldest friend. It's like, oh my god, wait a second. Because even though we met through a weird way, like even though we met through the internet, you're the person I know from the longest ago now.
That's beautiful.
It's also because every time I move, I'm like, okay, bye, new life.
Yeah.
Don't want to talk to anyone from that past era moving into the new era. But like with my internet friends, it's different because you guys follow me.
I follow
everywhere
you everywhere
I go.
You go. You can't escape me.
You follow me. I can't escape, really. And I wouldn't want to.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, well, speaking of birthday, maybe let's start with a little birthday haul because I was in Chicago. We will get to that. But while I was in Chicago, my birthday present arrived to your house.
Yes.
It was the day after your birthday
that it
arrived to your house.
Well.
But we weren't going to be recording the podcast for another week.
Yeah.
So we decided you should just open it. Have fun. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Make the festivities happen. I therefore called Raylene on FaceTime while sitting in a park in a random suburb of Chicago. And at one point, a dog attacked me.
I was going to mention the dog if you didn't bring it up. That was crazy. I was so lucky.
I was just talking to Raylene, and then all of a sudden, a dog jumped on my body. And
it's
the
like,
owner,
hey,
oh God.
What's going on?
Listen, it was a nice dog, so it was totally fine. But the owner did that thing that I hate when dog owners do, where they like assume you like their dog as much as they like their dog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's like, ha ha, yay. And I'm like, dude.
What if I was scared?
What if I don't like dogs or something? Yeah, seriously. Anyway, it was fine. It was a fun, happy beagle.
Yeah.
It was a happy beagle.
We love a dog.
Who can complain? Right. But yeah, so we called on FaceTime and you opened your gift. So we're not doing a live opening, but let's show what you got. But also, I think you had some other stuff to haul as well.
Yeah, I'll actually start with two books that my mom gave me first because
I got
them first chronologically. So a couple, like a day before my birthday, I hung out with my mom and my brother. My mom and I went and got our nails done. And then my mom gave
What color did you get?
Oh, I got this like, I'll show it to the camera. It's kind of like a gray green. It's kind of hard to see in this lighting, but
Yeah, no, I love
it. It's a really nice gray green, which I think might be like my favorite vibe now. Just like slightly off colors of gray. I really like that.
I also got my nails done this week, and I got like a Shrek green and a pink.
Wow.
Mix.
Edgy.
For
any kind of retro colors almost.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, totally.
Very awesome. Anyway, go on. So, yeah, and then my mom gave me a couple of books, which I was overjoyed about because my family never give me books because they just don't know what to buy for me. But I was like, please, totally. I literally have a wish list on Indigo. Right. Here it is. Right. Just pick one or two books from there and I'll be happy. And so my mom did that and I was very happy.
That's so nice.
So the first book she got for me is How High We Go in the Dark by Sequoia Nagamatsu.
Oh yeah, I've seen that
one. Which I've just been seeing it around, but our buddy Max read it, I think this year, and loved it. And just looking at the back, there's like a little blurb that says, for fans of Cloud Atlas and Station 11, a spellbinding and profoundly prescient work of mind-bending imagination. Whew. Sounds pretty cool. It takes place in the near future. And I think, I don't really remember what it's about, but I really wanted it when I decided I wanted it. So I also kind of like going into books without knowing too much. But I think, you know, that kind of gives you a bit of an idea. It's like Station 11-esque. So it's near future and there's probably an apocalypse.
If Max is listening. Max.
Hi, Max.
Hello, Max. If everyone wants to find him on Instagram, it's Well Done Books. Mm-hmm. Max, if you're listening, I really think that you should consider submitting reviews to magazines and newspapers. Like, yeah. I genuinely think that you should be a legit, and let's erase the word legit, because obviously what we do online is legit as well, but like a published book critic, because you have such good taste in books and you always know exactly what to say to pitch them correctly.
Yeah.
And there's loads of books that Max loves, but because of the way he reviews them, I know I wouldn't love.
Yeah.
Like, you're very honest about the way that you review books. I love your reviews. I trust, like, you are one of the few people who online who I truly trust, where I'm like, oh, if Max liked it, it's good. Yeah. It's gonna be good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so consider a career pivot. Okay. Thank you.
That was beautiful. A review of Max's reviews.
Wow. Shoot.
I love that. And then the other book my mom got me is Are You Listening by Tilly Walden.
Oh, really?
Which I'm sure a lot of people have told me to read this, but I remember distinctly one of our patrons was like, this is a cat book. You need to read this. And I, as we all may remember and know, I've been reading a lot of Tilly Walden. Like, I think I've read 3 or 4 of her books now over the past couple of years. Yeah, I still think On a Sunbeam is my favorite. I don't know if anything will ever top that, but I am still on a quest to read all of her books because they're just so pretty. I'll put some B-roll of the art. It's just
cool.
It's just stunning, you know? Stunning.
Stunning.
So I'm really happy about that. So that was just like a nice surprise because I wasn't expecting to get books from my mom. So that was a lovely little surprise. But now moving into the books that you got me and a couple of other little things.
I have a question. When someone buys you a book from your Indigo wish list, does it erase from your wish list? Or
no, I had to go in and erase them because they were still there.
Yeah.
But if I buy a book myself that's of a book that's on my wish list, it does disappear, which I think is a really stupid system. And I discovered that because I've ordered myself a book yesterday as well. But yeah, isn't that crazy? You'd think
it's kind of crazy.
You'd think it would do something. I mean, maybe it does something that like signals to other people who aren't me that it's been purchased, but I can't verify that because I am me. You know what I mean? Like, maybe if you were to look at the list, it would be like, someone already bought this. So I don't know.
I've never used that system before, so I didn't know how it worked, but
they also changed their system. Do you remember we got an email from Indigo that was like, make sure to take screenshots of all your wish lists because they're gonna disappear. We were like, what? Yeah.
I mean, do you remember their hack? They were hacked for what, 3 months? The system was down.
It was
for,
crazy.
Like, it was wild.
It was a crazy time for us all.
It was crazy.
Well, moving into the things that you gave me, I'll start with the kind of non-book items first. So first of all, you got me this adorable little puzzle, which I'll show in the B-roll as well. It's just this very cute, like very pink puzzle with like some red touches. And there's like a little lady in there, but it's like a 100 piece puzzle. So like genuinely very small, which I'm excited about. I haven't done but I plan to soon.
Who the artist is again? Is it Jacqueline Hill? I feel like that might have been her
question.
Name.
Janet Hill. Janet Hill Studio. Hill. Okay. That's the name
She's
on the back.
She's cool. She's really cool.
She seems very cool. She's a painter and children's book author slash illustrator. Very good. Did you get some puzzle ASMR there?
Yeah.
And then another cool thing you got me was this little ornament that looks like Simon. It's a cat, a black and white cat. He kind of looks stern, which is perfect because Simon is pretty stern. And actually something else that's funny is that Ariel wrote all these little like notes for every single present. I didn't keep all of them because some of them just didn't make sense to keep, but this one is attached still and it just says, "It's Simon. I've had this for over a year." Which I really like.
I bought that ornament for Raylene last year when I was in England, and it must have been like September or October time.
Yeah.
And then I was going to give it to your birth for your birthday. I forgot. And I was like, no problem. I'll give it to her for Christmas. Forgot. And so I've had it in my drawer for literally an entire calendar year.
Oh my
year.
Gosh.
And finally I was like, it's happening. I'm shipping it.
If it hadn't happened this year, I'd say that just it belongs to you now. Like it's no longer mine.
I forgot if I told you, but I also have the cat.
No way.
Yeah. So we now have matching cat ornaments. That's which so funny. I love. But yeah, no, I was like, no, I can't keep it. I already have
one. Oh, that makes perfect sense then. Okay. Because yeah, otherwise I would have said, just keep it. Just keep it, man. Save yourself the stress. Oh, okay. Now, actually, before I get into the books you gave me, I also have a very magnificent thing that you made for me. Ariel made me a book, guys. With custom paper made by Ariel. Everything is beautiful and made by Ariel. And this is something we both love, is that it lays flat. So I'm just showing the camera that.
Flat.
It's so pretty. Thank you so much for this, by the way. Like I couldn't believe it. It was such a special treat, and
it was really fun because I sent Raylene like photos of all the different papers she could choose from. Like, do you want gridded, white, gray paper, and you wanted kind of a grayish paper? And then I said, do you want like what size of book do you want? Gosh, we can do a little book, a medium book, a large book, and so you really got to pick everything about it. Yeah. But the most fun was I sent her a video where I flipped through every single marbled paper that I made.
Yeah.
And I would, in my little system, I made like a visual catalog. I would like tally. I would like put a new sheet, tally, new sheet, tally, new sheet, tally. And I was like, which ones do you want? And you were like, I like 15, 36, and 42.
It was so hard because I was at work too. So I just kept like going through the video to try and I like didn't have anything to write with because I was on lunch. So I was like, oh, I gotta remember which ones I like. And then I just said, just pick for me. Cause like, I couldn't decide. There was too many beautiful ones. And I was really narrowing it down. Yeah, I mean, I liked so many of them, but I was like, this is a very special book. It has to scream Raylene. And so I wanted to get something that like had my color on it. I have a very specific color I love, as you know. So that's what I did.
I'm really glad with the ones that you picked because I really like them too, but it's not really my style. So I wasn't going to probably use it for myself.
Yeah.
So the fact that like they were your favorite, I was like, that's perfect.
It just worked out. Just worked out great. So yes, that is the stuff that you gave me. And then Ariel also gave me three books, which is always very fun. The first one being a copy of The Great Gatsby that miraculously I didn't have.
A miracle.
Somehow I took a you gamble. Nailed that. It was actually kind of funny. I found a copy of The Great Gatsby the other day when I was at a thrift store and I couldn't remember if I had it or not. And so I bought it because it was only a dollar. And I got home and I was like, I have this one. It was slightly different, though. It was funny. Like the cover looked the same. The ISBN was the same. But it was published by, it was like a different publisher or something. And I was like, how? God. What? Huh? I was so confused. It was an old copy. So it was, it's a mystery. We'll never know. But yeah, this one's very cool. It's like a older kind of Scribner's copy and it's red and it's pretty cool.
It doesn't feel like a Great Gatsby color.
No, it really doesn't. Great Gatsby is always blue. Like blue is the color. So, which is weird. You'd think it would be green or gold or something.
You'd think it would be green or gold. Totally.
Those are the two iconic colors from the book.
Yeah,
but
that's weird.
Blue.
Yeah.
Never really thought about that. Why is it blue? Okay. And then this one is probably the one I'm most excited about because I have never heard of it. Don't know anything about this. It's called Nails and Eyes by Kaori Fujino. And you were the one that was kind of telling me about this. You saw this on a list of like cool new horror books or something like that?
I don't remember exactly why I was doing this, but I was looking at a list of horror novels and it wasn't for you. Like I wasn't birthday shopping.
It was just happening.
Yet. I was just like looking at a list of horror books. And as I was scrolling through, I think it was for a recommendation request or something for Patreon.
That makes sense.
I forget. But I was scrolling through and it was like, this new release is one of our favorites of the year. Nails and Eyes is Japanese translated horror at its finest. Or something, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm gonna buy that for Raylene. And I bought it for you. I'm so excited. And now I'm annoyed that I didn't buy it for myself because it sounds so good.
Yeah, I'll read the back. It's very short. Apparently, it won the Akutagawa Prize. So that's pretty cool. It says, a young girl loses her mother and her father blindly invites his secret lover into the family home to care for her. It was funny. When we were on our call, I read that silently to myself and I just said, uh-oh. As she obsessively tries to curate a pristine life, this new interloper remains indifferent to the girl, who seems to record her every move, and she realizes only too late all that she has failed to see. Uh-oh. And it says it's paired with two additional short stories of unsettled minds and creeping tension. And it's a short book, so I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be, it's going to be a, you know, powerhouse of a book. It's just going to be,
I think,
like,
it's going to be
boom,
a zippy
boom.
Quick read, as my friend Raylene would say.
Yeah.
Zippy quick.
Zippy quick. I do say that a lot. That's true. And then the final book that Ariel got for me is The Maids by Junichiro Tanizaki, which I had never heard of, but this was a very personalized gift and something only you would give me because you know my reading so well. So this is the author who wrote The Makioka Sisters, but not only that, this is like a companion to The Makioka Sisters, and it follows the maids and like the house staff that live with this family that is like the story of the Makioka Sisters is all about, which is just so fun. And it's funny because I've heard of books like that for like Pride and Prejudice. Like, I know there's a few books like that. And so like, I know of the concept, but I didn't even know that it existed for this. And it's written by the same author. Like, it's not a kind of like a spinoff by a different author, which it usually is.
I found that at Friction Books, which I talked about in another episode and that I loved. And there was just so many good things that I pulled that one down and I was like, wow, it's a bad cover.
It's pretty ugly.
It's really ugly. But then I started reading the synopsis and I was like, wait, this is the Makioka Sisters, but like a slightly different perspective. Yeah. And like, I was like, okay, hold on. That's one of Raylene's favorite reads of the year. Like, is this from the same author? I couldn't tell because I didn't remember the name of the author.
Yeah.
So I like Googled it and everything. And it was like, yeah, this is like a really award-winning companion novel written by the same author. I was like, this is too cool. Like,
it is.
It's so niche.
And I would never see that. I don't think I would ever find that anywhere else. So
I know.
It worked
out. This is what I'm telling you. Friction Books had some cool stuff.
That's awesome. So that's everything that Ariel got for me. So thank you so much. I did get one more book, though, from my friend.
Okay.
So I'll just briefly show off that one. So my friend got me Yellowface by R.F. Kuang. And this was really fun because she actually thrifted this. Like, somehow she found this for like $2. And she texted me about it a few months ago and asked if I wanted it. And I said yes. And then she never gave it to me. So I was like, I guess it's a birthday present. Which was fun, though, because I was like, I was excited. I was hyped about
it. Yeah.
Because that's one that I almost bought that one new so many times. Like, since it came out, I really, really wanted to get it. But I never did. And now I have it, so I'm happy. So I got like a cute little rainbow of books almost. Today, lots of cute colors in my stack upcoming as well. You'll see, from what I've read. Really, but yeah, that's
really
my whole haul.
Coming.
That's my whole haul.
Okay, I love that.
Now you should do.
You got some good stuff, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, it was a nice, a very nice birthday treat.
So, all right, I went to New York and Chicago. I, as you know, have some beautiful, perfect friends in New York City, and I love visiting them, and I love showing up for almost no reason at all.
Yeah.
So basically, like, earlier this year, it was in March now, but a while ago, but in March, Kaylee, who we love, was like, invited me to her birthday party. I was like, yeah, I will come all the way to New York for your birthday party. And then this is what happened again. She invited me to her Friendsgiving dinner. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to come to New York for your Friendsgiving dinner. And so I had a really fun 4 days in New York. I got to hang out with Kaylee and Monica, who we've had on the podcast. Mm-hmm. We've had Monica before. And our friends, Jeffrey and Jeremy, were... I love hugging them. They're so tall.
They're very tall.
I love them. I love all of them so much. And it was just really lovely to get to see them and go to bookshops and hang out and be in New York. So I have quite a few things to haul.
Classic.
I'm gonna start with all this accoutrement, all this pottery.
Pottery.
So I bought so much pottery, and I think I will refrain from doing it in future simply because, and I've done this before, so I probably won't stop, but it's like hard to travel. Like, you guys know, I only travel with a carry-on and a backpack. Mm-hmm. And so putting pottery safely and carry, like, it's
scary. I'm scared.
But it worked. Nothing broke. Everything's fine. So what do I have to complain about? But yeah, so Kaylee took me to a craft fair called Renegade, ooh, which is apparently like a really big New York craft fair that happens every year. And she goes to every year. And she says that it happens on the same weekend in November every year. Cool. And so I was like really excited to go. And I talked about it on my own Patreon. And I had someone from New York who was like, I'm so sad I missed Renegade this year. Aww. Like, it's one of my favorite things. So I was like, it's cool that I got to do that. I didn't realize it was like a little bit of a thing. But there are so many amazing crafters there, and I just got a little carried away. So here's what I got. The first thing is this tiny little vase, Raylene.
So cute.
It's a tiny little flower vase. It's so beautiful. And yeah, that's gonna go straight onto the old bookshelf. I got these two perfect coasters. Oh my god.
Oh, I want that frog.
I know. They're unbelievably beautiful coasters. They're blue and white, and basically my guest room is decorated all in blue and white.
Oh yeah.
And so I just thought it would be fun. When I saw these, I was like, these would be perfect for the guest room. And they're so happy. I love them.
Happy little animals.
Another mission, like a side mission that I had, was I really wanted to get some, or at least just, I just wanted one, but I ended up getting two of the, like a spoon rest.
Oh yeah.
You know, like when you're cooking and you need to put your fork down and you're like, where do I put this?
Yes.
<thing?">
Yes.
So basically it was you. The pumpkins that you gave me.
The strange pumpkins.
I ended up using one of those as a spoon rest.
Oh, good.
I've never used a spoon rest before. Game changer. Yeah. Game changer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I want one. So first of all, I found this perfect one. It's so pretty. And it's just like really a perfect little pottery item.
It
you
is.
Know? So I was very happy with this one. But then I also saw this one, and it's like weird and
super weird,
messed up. And I was like, oh yeah, that's cool.
It looks
stuff.
Like a shell or something.
It does kind of look like a shell. You're right. Love it. And then Kaylee Hyde. That's sweetie pie. She gave me two little things when I got to her apartment. The first one was this little plate. Aww. That is from Peggy's Cove,
no
Nova
way.
Scotia. She found it at a thrift shop somewhere.
That's amazing.
And she was like, I wanted you to have it. And I was like, I can't even explain to you how much I love this. And I think actually this would be a perfect spoon rest.
It would. I was just going to say, all you've got is little plates.
All I got was spoon rests. So I got three spoon rests. No spoon will ever be unrested in my home. Kaylee also gave me, oh my god, the cutest little house.
Don't you have a little house like that?
I have a house really similar
to this.
Okay,
I was going
to
say, it looks familiar.
And so this is going to live next to that other one on my bookshelf. Because I think that it's just the sweetest thing I've ever seen. I'm obsessed. And Kaylee has one that's really similar. So I said, we're neighbors.
A classic Ariel joke.
Okay, I also got this very lovely candle. Ooh. From The New Savant. I don't know. Do you remember Ingrid Nielsen on YouTube?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Her candle
yeah,
company.
I love Ingrid. She's so cool. And we met on like a cool YouTube project once, and she was just the sweetest person I've ever met. Mm. She was so lovely. So, so lovely. And she's like really pivoted away from YouTube fully into making candles. And I respect the hell out of that. I
awesome.
Think it's so, so cool. And she, you know, makes all of the scents herself, pours them herself. I think now they have like a couple of employees as well, which is lovely. But I've always wanted to get one of her candles, but the shipping to Canada is kind of expensive. Yeah. So when I saw her there, I was like, oh, Ingrid, you're at Renegade. I went up to her stand and I said,
amazing.
Hi, and I got to meet her girlfriend, Erica, which was really great.
Oh, that's so fun.
And then I picked this one, California Christmas.
Ooh.
I have something
what
to say.
What does that smell like?
Yeah, okay, well, the scents are desert air, sun-baked sea salt, California oranges, cognac, and caramelized sugar.
Ooh.
So it's kind of like a sweet, slightly tropical, citrusy vibe. Cool. It's really nice. I have something to say. Nobody should buy a metal tin candle if all you have is carry-on. Every single airport destroyed my bag.
Oh, no.
And they're like, do you have a candle in here? I'm like, yeah, I looked it up online. I'm allowed to have a candle. And they're like, we gotta swab that. We gotta check it.
What?
And I was like, oh, America.
That's okay. Crazy. A candle.
If you want to check my candle, you can check my candle.
That's funny. That actually reminds me, Ariel also bought me a candle and I didn't haul it because I've been using it. So I forgot.
Oh,
it's,
good.
It's not in the room with me.
I bought, what was it? Gingerbread?
It's gingerbread. Oh, it smells so good.
Yeah.
That it's real nice. Real nice.
Yeah, so I'm really glad that I have this candle because I have really been wanting to support that brand, the new Savant, but I learned a valuable lesson. Never buy a metal candle on a carry-on. So I started looking for a Christmas ornament that was somehow New York-y.
Okay.
I've started collecting. I have this tiny Christmas tree that's on my desk. I really love my tiny Christmas tree. And it's covered in ornaments that like really mean a lot to me that I've gathered. Like one of them is flowers from one of my best friend's weddings that I've put in a little jar. One of them I got when I went to Monet's house. One of them I got, whatever. They're like all like really meaningful to me.
Yeah.
And I've like love like getting them in different places and stuff. And so I thought, I love New York. I love visiting my friends in New York. I would love to have like a Christmas New York ornament. I couldn't find anything that I liked. I didn't want to just buy one for the sake of buying one. But I couldn't find anything that I liked and that didn't feel like tacky or stupid.
Yeah, just like a keychain.
Yeah, exactly. But then we were decorating Kaylee's apartment for Christmas.
Oh, nice.
And she was unwrapping all of her ornaments. And she gave me one of her ornaments. And I just feel so touched. And now it's like even better than having bought one there.
Yeah.
Given to me straight by Kaylee Hyde. I mean, it couldn't be more prestigious if I tried. But look at how happy this Christmas ornament
so
is,
cute.
Really.
Oh, it's so cute.
It's a perfect New York Christmas ornament. The Statue of Liberty has a little Santa hat on.
Are they candles? The Brooklyn Bridge
on the back. They kind of look waxy, but they have little metal rods at the top that I think are supposed to be like the lightning rods or whatever. Yeah, that's perfect. I love it. I love it so much. And then I also went to Chicago.
Mm. Yeah,
and this is like the only thing I bought in Chicago. Actually, no, I bought two things in Chicago. Hold on. I just remembered the other one's over here. I went to Chicago for a couple reasons. First of all, it was somehow cheaper to fly through Chicago than it was to fly directly back to Halifax. I don't understand it, but that is
the universe just wanted you to go there.
Yeah, but then the other big reason is I've been dying to go to Chicago because of the miniature rooms. Did I talk about this? I must have. Yeah, I did.
Oh, I mean, you definitely talked about them before because, you know,
you talked
about miniatures a lot.
Because you won't shut up about miniatures.
You know.
So basically I went to the Art Institute of Chicago because they have these beautiful, intricate miniature rooms called the Thorne Rooms. They were created by this woman named Narcissa Thorne, a genius. And she, did like, and now I've forgotten how many, but it's like two or three dozen of these miniature rooms.
You're going to say 100. More than that. Oh my God. That was scary for a second.
It was actually closer to like 100.
Wow.
I would guess, what would I guess? I think it was like 70. I should really double check that. But they're so
Narcissa's
beautiful.
Narcissa's not messing around.
Yeah, I'm just obsessed. I spent probably over an hour in the one exhibit that I think most people, I know. Because I was there for so long, I saw people and they'd be like, wow, this is so cool. And they'd look at two of them and then leave. Yeah. And I was like, amateur.
Fools.
I was looking at every single one. I was like, I am taking this in. This is why I came to Chicago.
Yeah, no.
When I go to the gift shop, there was no miniatures. Which
That's
I just
concerning.
Think is so weird. Like, I just feel like I really respect merch that's done well or is clever in some way. And the idea that they weren't selling like miniature chairs, miniature chair ornaments, or a little chair that says the Thorne Rooms on it, or that says the Art Institute of Chicago on a little couch, something.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't understand why it's part of their permanent collection. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. And I asked a person, I was like, hi, I'm just wondering, like, do you have anything to do with the Thorn Rooms in the gift shop? This is a huge gift shop. And he was like, the only thing is that one book at the back, which I already own.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Duh.
And I was like, damn. Okay. No problem. Aww. And he was like, are you Ariel? And I was like, hello.
We've been waiting for you.
I was like, I'm just really into miniatures. And he was like, I've seen your videos. I was like, I'm just like really into miniatures. I'm not kidding. It's not a joke. It's that's not like hilarious. A thing I do for the videos. It's my real life. I'm in Chicago to look at miniatures. But after I looked at the miniatures for a really long time, I then just did the rest of the museum. It was beautiful. I loved it. The Art Institute of Chicago. I mean, wow, what a museum. And I got this ornament of Nighthawk by Edward Hopper.
Okay, I was going to say that. It looks familiar.
Yeah, this painting. And on the back, it says the Art Institute of Chicago. I know, it's so shiny on the back. The other thing that I got there, this is so random. I'm like, but it was only $2. And I was like, I actually really want that. It was a letter opener. I just got a letter opener.
That was random.
A plastic letter opener. And I was like, afterwards, I was like, God, you know, American security is gonna take this.
Oh yeah,
like of course they're gonna take this, but they didn't. I don't know how they didn't.
The candle.
They got so distracted
deal.
By the candle. Yeah, they got freaked out by the candle. Okay, so now let's transition to books. I got this tote bag. It's a McNally Jackson tote bag. Anyone who's in New York knows McNally Jackson's where it's at. That's the bookstore chain of our dreams.
Yeah.
And I really wanted a cool tote bag, and this is a new design. It's funny because I got this and all of the New York buddies were like, hey, is that a new design? I was like, I believe it is, because it wasn't there the last time I was there. I really love it, and it's got a really nice little square bottom. Yeah, that's quality tote baggage. The only thing I will say they cheaped out on is not printing the design on the back. I don't know about that, but I do love it.
That's tough.
All right, let's talk books, baby. Slide my little pile over here. Okay. You ever look at your choices and think, what? Anyway. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I look at your choices and I go, what? Just kidding.
Oh, that's funny. Okay. The first book that I got is The Death and Life of Great American Cities by Jane Jacobs.
What?
Exactly. This is actually a book that I've been eyeing for months.
Oh, nice.
Because me and Connor are really into watching urbanist YouTube videos.
Oh.
So like YouTube videos from this whole urbanist community of people who make videos about trains and parking and city structure, zoning.
Wow.
We've gone deep down this rabbit hole. I mean, I'm the one who started it. Like, I really like this YouTube channel called Not Just Bikes. He's a Canadian who moved to the Netherlands, and he's like obsessed with how good transit and city planning is in the Netherlands. And so, yeah, so it's like, I really love that subgenre. This book comes up all of the time in these videos.
Oh,
like, everyone's always talking about this book. And so I've been really curious about it. And then I saw it in the shop. And I was like, how cool is this? And so I picked it up and I was like, I don't need to buy this here necessarily. Mm-hmm. But it's about New York by a New Yorker. And the dedication is one of the coolest dedications ever. To New York City, where I came to seek my fortune and found it by finding Bob, Jimmy, Ned, and Mary, for whom this book is written to.
Oh,
I love that.
That's
so
nice.
I was like, I gotta get it.
Yeah.
The next book, my friends tried to convince me not to buy. They're like, why are you buying that? I was like, I really want it.
You can't be tamed.
I just want it. So I bought Swan's Way by Marcel Proust.
Silly.
I just wanted it. My buddy Proust, we go way back to 2 weeks ago when I read his letters. And I was like, I started reading. I wanted this specific edition because it's the one translated by Lydia Davis.
Oh, yeah.
I really liked the first lines. And I was like, I'm just going to buy it. I'll figure out the suitcase problems later. Okay. It's the first line is, for a long time, I went to bed early. Great first line. But then it keeps going. Sometimes, my candle scarcely out, my eyes would close so quickly that I did not have time to say to myself, I'm falling asleep. And half an hour later, the thought that it was time to try to sleep would wake me. I wanted to put down the book I thought I still had in my hands and blow out my light. I had not ceased while sleeping to form reflections on what I had just read, but these reflections had taken a rather peculiar turn. It keeps going. And I'm like, I'm in it. I'm in it to win it, Marcel.
Can't go now.
Okay, Marcel. Okay. And then I got this. I got Letters to Eugene.
Letters.
By Hervé Guibert and Eugène Savitskaya. We're really pushing me here. Savitskaya. Translated by Christine Piccini. From what language? I'm not sure. I like it when it says, like, translated from the French by whoever. Yeah. It doesn't say. So I'm not sure. But I'll figure that out when I read it. These are some letters written back and forth between these two people. And as you know, I'm really into letters right now. I'm in my letters era.
Yep.
And I just thought it would be fun to read this. And so I started reading the letters in the shop. And again, I did the thing where I was like, I was like 10 pages in. I was like, wait, I should just buy it.
Yeah.
I should just buy it. That's okay. Okay, so that was at McNally Jackson. But actually, the first bookshop we went to, new favorite bookshop alert, ring the bell, love new favorite shop, second, I think it's the second best bookshop in New York. Number one, Seaport McNally Jackson. Yeah. Number two, Center for Fiction.
Ooh.
So cool. It's in Brooklyn. It's huge.
Oh my God.
It's so tall. It's so tall. When you're in there, you feel like you're in a gallery. Like, ooh. It's so tall and long and beautiful. There's also a cafe, which we didn't sit at, but was really pretty. And it's also like a, you can become a member. And the upstairs rooms are all these like lounges and stuff for writers. Mm. It was so cool.
That sounds
I
awesome.
Got a tour. I was like, can I have a tour? And they were like, yes, you can. I was like, woohoo. It was so beautiful. It was so, so, so beautiful. So had some, it also was like really well curated and like one entire, like the entire main wall was windows. So it was just so bright. Ah, I loved it. Loved it. I've decided the next time that I go to New York, I really want to focus on Brooklyn. Like, I want to get to know Brooklyn better because I feel like so many of my favorite things that I experience in New York are in Brooklyn.
Okay.
And I want to know it better. But anyways, that's just an aside. Okay. The first book that I picked up was Funny Weather, Art in an Emergency by Olivia Lang. This was because Kaylee put it in my hands.
I bet Kaylee did that.
Yeah. She was like, you have to read this one. You're going to love this one. You have to get it. And I was like, I trust you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get it. Yeah. So I honestly didn't look at it very much because I was like, this is just a friend's recommendation and I'm just going to trust her.
Yeah.
But it sounded really cool. It says, in this remarkable, inspiring collection of essays, the writer and critic Olivia Lang makes a brilliant case for why art matters, especially in the turbulent political weather of the 21st century. She profiles Jean-Michel Basquiat, George O'Keefe, Maggie Nelson, Sally Rooney, David Bowie, Freddie Mercury. So there's like a huge array of artists that she's talking about. Loneliness, technology, women, alcohol, etc. So a lot of cool topics. And yeah, on the train ride to the bookshop, Kaylee was like, have you read Funny Weather? I was like, no. And she was like, okay, we can fix that. I was like, cool. Okay, the next one that I picked up there, it was Seven Empty Houses by Samantha Schweblin. Have you seen this one?
I feel like I've come across it, but I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I picked it up and I was like intrigued. I was like, this is kind of a play. Seven Empty Houses is like a little bit of a play on the House of the Seven Gables, surely, right? Yeah. Nathaniel Hawthorne, spooky house. Reading the synopsis, it says, the seven houses in these seven stories are strange. A person is missing, or a truth, or memory, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A ghost, a fight, trespassers, a list of things to do before you die, all of these things. And I was like, this sounds really cool. And you and I were talking about short stories in a recent episode and how I really don't gravitate towards them. And I have not given that genre like a very good college try.
Yeah.
And this actually sounded like really, really cool. And I started reading it in the shop, and I was like, and I was on page 4, and I was like, yeah, this is cool. This is interesting. So I thought it would be cool to give a short story collection a go.
I approve of that.
This one's also translated, right? It's like, yep. I think she's, where is she from?
I feel like she's from, I want to say Argentina, but I could be wrong.
Buenos Aires, but she now lives in Berlin, where the cool peeps are. Okay, this one looks really cool. A Horse at Night, on writing by Amina Kane. Amina Kane wrote that book that I started and was loving but never finished.
I was going to say, that's another name that sounds familiar.
Damn it, Ariel! yeah, so this is her book on writing. And you know I love a book on writing. Mm-hmm. You know I do. Mm-hmm. I really do.
I know that.
And I started reading it, and I was on I love the start of it. Without planning it, I wrote a diary of sorts. Lightly, a diary of fiction. Or is that not what this is? I wrote about reading fiction and about writing it. Sometimes I read and thought about the books my friends had written. They were my friends partly because I felt great kinship with what they wrote. Sometimes about books by writers I will never know. They are dead, or they're alive, but still I won't meet them. It's enough to read their work. I was like, yep, you're speaking my Changwich, as Ben Changwich said. Anyway, love that. Also love the shape of it. It's like weirdly square.
Yeah.
We're having that thing for our video listeners where the sun is setting right on my eyeballs. So it's just like really bright over here.
Just going through a lot right now.
Really thought that I should mention that. Okay. The final bookshop that we went to, bookshops that day. I think we went to like 4 bookshops that day. The final bookshop that we went to was another McNally Jackson, a new one near Rockefeller area. And it was really cool. Recommended if you're in that zone. Doesn't beat Seaport.
Nothing
but
ever
if
will.
You like the feeling of being in a maze of books,
oh.
where you're like a little like, how do I get out? Who cares? That's the one.
Nice.
Gotta go to that one. Really great stationery section as well. Okay. This one. God, really? What the hell was I doing? I got another short story collection.
Whoa.
I was in a mood.
Oh my God.
I was in New York. I was feeling cool. I was feeling cooler than I am. That's what happened. The House Guest and Other Stories by Amparo.
Oh,
I can't read the cursive on this. Daniela, I think it says.
I've been curious about that one. Yes, I have seen that.
Yeah, it's very really beautiful. Really beautiful. Mm-hmm. It says, oh God, I'm trying to remember why. I remember I picked this up. Started flipping through. I was like, that sounds really cool. Mm. But I've bought enough books today. Put it back down. Walked away. 3 minutes later, I was like, still thinking about that. Went back, picked it back up. Started reading it. I was like, this is kind of intriguing stuff. I was like, nope, we don't need this.
Yeah.
Put it back down. Walked away. Walked back to it. It was like, I'm buying the book. I'm buying it. I'm buying the book. It's happening. And now I, of course, cannot recall why I was so excited about it. But I do feel, it's funny because I feel the feeling of it. I feel the excitement still when I look at the book, but I don't remember exactly which story it was that excited me.
Mm.
I think a big part of it was that it's like translated from Spanish. I think that's cool. Amparo Davila was born in Mexico in 1928, which is cool.
Mm.
And it's translated by Matthew Gleason.
Okay.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Very good. Okay. This is interesting, Raylene. I got... I'm looking at my life. I zoomed out for a second. I'm zooming back in. 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts Right Now by Jaron Lanier. Now, you might be thinking what I'm thinking. Don't you already own this book?
Yeah.
I do. I definitely do.
Did you give it to someone?
But no, I did not. I can now. But two things. First of all, love this edition so much more than my edition.
Oh.
My edition is like a hardcover kind of cheap edition.
Oh.
You know when you feel like a cheap hardcover book?
Yeah.
It's like not a it's kind of cracky.
Yeah, it's not
no,
good.
No, this is like a lovely little paperback. I just was so excited by the form factor of the book.
Okay.
But that's not a reason enough for me to buy it. The actual reason I bought it is there's a new afterword.
Oh.
There's like expanded. Like I'm basically enough to be like a whole new chapter. And I was like, damn it, you got
me. You got me
you
again.
You got me good. You got me good. Okay, the last book...
Oh boy.
I'm so sorry. I bought this book I picked it up, put it down, picked it up, put it down, picked it up. And then I said to Kaylee, I looked her in the eye and I said, we need to leave. I'm buying books and I don't know why anymore. And she was like, you're right, let's go. We left the shop. Oh my gosh. So
you're losing
it's
control.
Nausea by Jean-Paul Sartre. Oh. Why did I buy this?
Yeah.
Not too sure. Not too sure. Loved the cover. I think that was, it was a cover buy. It was a cover buy. That's what happened. It's a cover buy. But like, so it says, Nausea is the story of Antoine Roquetin, a French writer who is horrified at his own existence. Hmm. In impressionistic diary form, he ruthlessly catalogs every sensation. His thoughts culminate in a pervasive, overpowering feeling of nausea, which, quote, spreads at the bottom of the vicious puddle, at the bottom of our time, the time of purple suspenders and broken chair seats. It is made of wide, soft instances spreading at the edge like an oil stain. And I was like, oh, that actually sounds really cool. And then I read the first few lines and I was really into it. And I, so I was like, okay, I am going to buy this, but we need to leave now.
Pull
because I'm
out.
Making irresponsible decisions. So this is my, God, I always love my New York hauls. I always get the coolest
shit. It's always so wild.
Oh, God, no.
She's losing
it. So this is my pile of books that I got in New York City.
Very good.
Then I went to Chicago.
Oh, no.
I didn't buy anything. Oh. I didn't buy anything.
I was like, we're on the other side.
Nope. I was like, I have bought more than enough. Yeah. I am very happy with the choices that I made. I did go to some bookshops in Chicago, and I really enjoyed them. There were some really beautiful bookshops, but I didn't buy anything because I was like, I don't need anything. Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to have to shove it in my backpack.
Yeah.
I'm super hyped by the pile that I have. So I really, I was proud of myself. I was like, nope, I don't need, I'm good.
I don't need anymore.
I will just say though, loved Chicago. It was really cool. Obsessed with the L train.
Ooh.
The L train was so cool. I don't know if you know this, Raylene, or anyone
probably
listening,
not.
But it's called the L train because it's elevated.
What?
Of course. Genius.
That's crazy.
Obviously, most systems of a subway are like subterranean or underground, the London Underground. And this did have some stops and stations that were underground, but most of the train is the L train, which is like above the city. And you're riding the trains and you're just looking at the buildings in the actual downtown. It was so cool.
Yeah.
It was so cool. And it just like further emphasized why so many of the lies we're told about why we can't have good trains are lies. Like when people are like, we'd have to dig up the whole city.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you don't. Look at what Chicago did.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful system. And it was so convenient. Like I was able to walk to a stop within four. It was always a station like within 4 minute walk.
Mm.
I'd like walk over, get on the train, ride it for 10 minutes, be in another part of town, go to a bookshop, go to a stationery store, whatever.
Yeah.
And I had a great time. So Chicago was a really cool city. I'm glad I went. I did have deep dish pizza.
Ooh.
It was delicious, very filling. And I would say that it was not windier than any other city I've ever been in.
Yeah.
So that's a lie.
That is, yeah, I've heard that.
All right, let's cap off this episode by talking about what we are reading and what we have read. You start us off, Raylene.
Yeah, so I've read a bunch of books, but I'm only going to talk about a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because my birthday, like leading up to my birthday, I was like, I'm going to get some books. Like, I know that that's going to happen. And so
yeah.
I was like, I should try and read as many books as I possibly can. So I just like read all of the unread like manga I had and a couple of graphic novels.
Okay.
So I'm not going to talk about any of those because nothing really worth mentioning, but it was, mm-hmm. it was fun. It was fun. I read like five books like in a couple of days. But then after that, I was like, okay, it's my birthday. And on my birthday, one of the things I wanted to do was just read all day and like have food and drinks brought to me and not leave the house. That was my birthday dream. That's what I did. And so I had this mental image of like, I'm going to read three books and it's going to be great. It didn't happen. I only read half of a book because I kept getting sidetracked. Mm. But the book that I decided to read on my birthday was The Blue Castle by L.M. Montgomery. The Blue Castle is one of Montgomery's few novels written for adults and is the only book she wrote that is entirely set outside of Prince Edward Island. The book has been adapted for the stage twice, first as a Polish musical in 1982, then again a decade later by a Canadian playwright. If you'd like to read a strikingly similar novel, try Colleen McCullough's 1987 novel The Ladies of Missolonghi. The Australian author has actually been accused of plagiarism due to her novel's resemblance to The Blue Castle. So I learned some fun facts about the Blue Castle looking at its Wikipedia.
Yeah, I remember reading that and I like went down that rabbit hole and she was like, I think maybe I subconsciously stole that story from childhood.
It was subconscious. I'm like, oh God, oh God. Yeah, that's tough. Ooh, boy. But yeah, so this was a big moment for me, for us, for the podcast, for me reading the Blue Castle. And you and I have talked about it already a little bit, so luckily, you know, the blow has been softened, but I didn't love it. Like, I liked it, but it definitely doesn't hit me the same way that it does for you. And now that I've, it sounds weird, but like now that I've read it, I understand why. Like, I understand why you love it so much. And I also completely understand that it's like not a book for me. And I need to just stop reading books solely because my friends love them, because we have different tastes. We have different tastes.
Yeah. It's really funny because we were talking about this and I was like, it does happen quite often where I read a book and really, really love it. But I don't think it's a Raylene book.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, but then sometimes I'll read a book and really, really love it. And I'm like, you will love this as well. Yeah. Like, we know each other pretty well, but there's loads of books that you read that you love that I'm like,
exactly,
just because she loved it doesn't mean I would
exactly
like it. Yeah.
So I'm trying, that's like a goal for me for 2024, is just to like, you know, like, I don't know, trust my instincts more. Like, just because a friend loved it doesn't mean I'm going to love it. So I need to like think about these things a little bit more. But anyway, it was a fun little read though. Like, it definitely was kind of like had lots of like twists and turns kind of, and it was dramatic. For those who may not remember, it's about a 29-year-old woman, which is another reason why I wanted to read it on my birthday, because the main character is 29 and it's set, you know, like in the 20s or whatever. And so she's unmarried. And so she's like an outcast. Everybody thinks she's a lunatic.
A loser.
Yeah. Big loser. And her family is crazy. Like, they're all so weird and mean. And like, and so she finds out that she only has a year to live. And so she goes off and just like, I'm just going to go live my life. And so that concept to me is fantastic. The book just wasn't like as, I guess I was thinking she was going to be more adventurous, but it's a classic novel. And so her being adventurous was like, I'm going to just like live without my family. And you know, it was,
which
it,
is yeah
exactly, like, in my head it was gonna be a lot more dramatic than it actually was, but it was like, oh yeah, no, this is more of like a tame kind of like classic novel, like historical version of like a woman being a little bit wild. And she so I guess it was a little bit different.
Did you reread the first time you read Pride and Prejudice? You didn't like it, right? That's a thing.
I've only read it once and I didn't like it.
Right. So this is, to me, like, it makes so much sense. I'm like, the fact that Raylene has read Pride and Prejudice and didn't like it, and then reads The Blue Castle and likes it, but doesn't love it.
Yeah.
I'm like, those two things have something to do with one another.
I know. I was actually thinking that, like, this was, it was making me think of Jane Austen while I was reading it. Like, it's in the same family, I would say, totally, as Jane Austen novel. So I would say, like, if you love Jane Austen, definitely check this book out.
Yeah.
It's just, it's totally different from Anne of Green Gables, obviously, like, totally different type
which
of setting
is cool, right?
Yeah, it is cool. It's definitely cool, and I can see why you love it, and I definitely think other people would love it. It's just, like, not for me. It's just not for me.
Yeah.
So then after I read that, I decided I wanted to read something totally different and something short, and that would be like a quick read. And so I read After the Quake by Haruki Murakami. After the Quake was first published in Japan in 2000, with the English translation being released in 2002. It is a collection of 6 short stories, all set in February 1995, which was the month between the Kobe earthquake and the Tokyo gas attacks, both very real events in Japan's history. Each of the characters from the stories live far away from the physical devastation of the earthquake and only witness it on TV, but for each of them, the event becomes a turning point in their lives. So I didn't realize this was short stories. And before I read it, I also didn't realize it was kind of based around true events. I didn't know anything about the book. I've just been like buying all of Murakami's books and wanting to read them. Yeah. So I didn't really know anything about it. And knowing that now makes me like love the book more and wish I had read it sooner. I definitely think this would be a good place to start for people who haven't read Murakami, because it's not too crazy in any direction.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's only one story that kind of has some kind of fantastical elements. There's a giant frog and it's awesome and he can talk. It's so great. That was probably my favorite story just because it was so wacky and weird, and I love frogs. So it was really fun.
You do love frogs.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I read it just like in 2 sittings. It was a very quick, easy read. It's one of his shorter books. Like, it's very small. It's only like 140 pages, I think. And yeah, it was really good. And I loved that all the stories were connected to one event. So they were connected to each other without really being connected to each other. Like, none of the characters know each other or ever talk to each other or meet each other or anything, but their whole lives are all kind of, like, at the points in their story, they're all kind of revolving around this earthquake. But they're also so far away from it that a lot of people, like, will just mention it and then they forget about it. So it's like this crazy thing that happened, but they're like, eh, whatever, just gonna go on with my life now. So yeah, it was an interesting little book, and yeah, like I said, I had no idea what it was about before I read it, so it was a nice treat that it was short stories. And
cool,
yeah, so I think it would be a good place to start, and I'm really glad that I read another book by him, because as you may remember, awesome. Norwegian Wood was the book I read at the very beginning of this year and loved it, and I've been wanting to read another book by him since then, so I'm glad I squeezed another one in before the end of the year.
Have you read The Strange Library?
Yes. That was actually probably the first book of his I read.
Okay. That was one book that I picked up and put down and picked up and put down a few times in the final McNally Jackson. And that was part of the reason why I said to Kaylee, we got to go. I was like, I'm going to end up buying that and this. And I was like, we got to just get out of here. But
that is a good one, though.
Do you think that it's a good place to start with him?
I would think so. It's been a long time since I read it. Like,
it's so short.
It's really short, and it is really strange. But I think it's definitely, like, readable, and it's not so strange that you, like, don't understand what's happening, but it is kind of just, like, this really short, like, wacky ride.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't own it anymore, which makes me sad. I don't know why I got rid of it, but I had it when I was, like, 16, so I was like, what's this?
Oh, ages ago.
Yeah, like, cool. I think I was sent a copy of it by Random House or something, and it was very fun. Anyway, that's a story for another day. But, yeah, no, that one I think would be a good place to start, because that is where I started, and I was intrigued enough to be like, yeah, I'll read another book by him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, so those are the ones that you wanted to talk about this week.
I guess I could tell you what I'm reading. I'm still just at the very beginning, so I don't have much to say, but this is going to be exciting for you. You're going to love this. I'm reading A Day of Fallen Night by Samantha Shannon.
Yeah!
I almost got so excited the camera moved.
I accidentally yanked on my headphones cord. It kind of hurt, but that's okay. I stand by it!
Yes. So, I started this a few days ago, and I've only read, like, maybe about 100 pages of it. It's almost 900 pages long. It's so big. So I've actually been reading it on my e-reader because I can't, like, physically hold it. It's too big. So I'm still in the early stages, and so far I would say I like it, but I'm not loving it yet. And it's mostly because I'm confused. I'm not confused, but, like, there's just so many characters that I'm, like, trying to keep a grasp on, like, who everyone is, because in the Priory of the Orange Tree, that's a thing too. But, like, I found that I got a grasp on it a little bit more quickly with this one. I feel like there's just so many names and characters, and they're really thrown into it, like, kind of a history of one family. Like, it's like, okay, here's the character. And then she had a baby. And then she grew up. And then she had a baby. And then she grew up. And then she... And so you're like, whoa, 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 who am I supposed to be... Like, it was just a lot all at once. I'm like, who am I supposed to be paying attention to? Like, what is the story that matters here? So I'm still just getting a handle on it, but I think it's gonna be good. I think I'm reaching a point now where things are starting to, like, happen, and people are starting to, like, go off on their own little journeys and whatnot, so I'm excited about it.
That's cool. No, I'm really excited that you're doing that. You know, I love it when you refresh.
I know. It's like your favorite thing for some reason.
It's most my favorite thing. It's just because, like, I think a big part of it is nostalgia. Just, like, I remember when we were younger, you used to read a lot more fantasy, and I know how much joy it brings you, and, like, lately you haven't been able to read as much for whatever reason. So I think it's just nice when you go back to your roots.
It is nice. And one of my goals for this year, as I've said many times, is to read 6 fantasy books. This will be number 4, so I still have to read 2 more after when I get through this one. So.
Okay, that's really... That's exciting. I'm so excited for our end of the year episodes.
It's going to be wild. Yeah, once all is revealed.
You said that we had a message from one of our patrons that said that she was Luna. Really looking forward from Luna. Luna, thank you. Luna said, like, really looking forward to our end of the year episodes. You can tell that they're coming, just, like, the wrap ups and everything. But also, Luna was really nice. Said that she feels like this has been the best year of the pod yet.
Yeah,
and I agree, Luna. We've had so much fun with the podcast this year.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in the middle of 3 things.
Whoa.
I haven't finished anything in the last... I've just been so busy traveling that I just didn't read as much as I thought I might. But on audio, I am listening to On Writing by Stephen King. I know. I just was like, what do I want to listen to right now? And for some reason in my brain, I was like, I could reread On Writing. And I was like, let's just go with that. And I started listening to it. And I was like, wow, this was the right decision. Yeah. It's so much fun. I love books about writing and writers. Mm. And like, yeah, I really enjoy that whole genre. So I'm really enjoying that. That's fun. I'm also working through Kafka Was the Rage still. And I'm still really enjoying it. Nice. I just didn't have a chance to really read a physical book this week.
Oh, like, yeah.
This I was listening to a bit on audio. This I brought with me as a physical book and I read a couple more pages, but I just was like never had it on me really, but still really enjoying it. And then this I just started last night, Letters to a Young Poet by Rainer Maria Rilke, which you might recall I bought a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm into letters, I'm like, wait, I have the perfect one to read perfect. Next. I know, it's weirdly perfect. And I started it last night because I just couldn't sleep, but I couldn't turn the light on because my boyfriend was next to me, but I had my phone. So I just started reading it on my phone because I was away from home, so I didn't have my e-reader. But I started reading it on my phone, and so that's why, again, I wasn't reading the physical thing. Like, otherwise, I would have read this more. But I was like, I need something new. And then I was like, wait a minute, letters. It's super good so far. I'm only on letter 2 or 3 though, so we'll see. I think there's 10 letters or something. But yeah, I'll definitely finish this by next week. It's so short.
Nice.
It's like criminally short. But yeah, so I'm enjoying that and we'll see where I get.
Wow,
next week.
Look at
I think
you.
I'm gonna be productive this week with reading. I'm feeling it in my bones.
Good.
Okay. This was a big episode. There was a lot of updates. Mm-hmm. A lot had to be said, a lot had to be done. Thank you all so much for listening and hanging out with us as always. We're now going to go record our Patreon mini podcast, The Movie Tub. I almost said the wrong name. I almost said Books on Bucket.
Oh man, we're so far past that.
That was so far gone. The Movie Tub, where we talk about the movies and shows that we've been watching. So I'm excited to go do that because we've been watching some stuff. And if you want to support the podcast on Patreon, we're at patreon.com/booksunbound. Mm. That's the way to do it.
There you go.
Or follow us on Instagram for updates.
Yeah.
Or share the pod. Dare I suggest you share the pod with a dear friend? I don't know.
Amazing. All right.
Thank you guys so much for watching or listening, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.